These are the most overlooked rookies in the NFL draft, and it honestly has nothing to do with their individual talent. All of these players that we're going to discuss in this video are great in their own way. They're just being outshined, relatively speaking, by some bigger names in the draft that are getting a lot more media attention. And we'll start with Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. And now, Alabama wide receivers are known for getting a lot of attention and media attention. He is the rare one who doesn't. And you could just go through the list of names of just first-round talents in Amari Cooper, Devonta Smith. I mean, there's Calvin Ridley, Jalen Waddle. You can keep going down. Jameson Williams, Jerry Jeudy, even all the way back to Julio Jones. These guys, John Mechie was a second-round pick. He had a lot of attention as well. These guys all got their media hype, all got their attention. So why isn't Jermaine Burton? Well, to be completely fair, he wasn't as dominant during his time at Alabama as these players, and he didn't have as much time as some of those guys with the program. But that doesn't mean he didn't have a solid career with Alabama. He led the team both years he was there in receiving yards. So let's dive a little bit deeper. Burton started his college career in 2020, and that was with Georgia. He spent 2 years there, 2020 and 2021, and you can see his numbers, 27 receptions, 26. You might not think anything major of this, but actually in 2021, when he had 26 catches, 497 yards, he actually led all the wide receivers on that team, and that's including some big names. Like a George Pickens, who was indeed hurt that season, or a Ladd McConkey, who's potentially going to be a first-round pick in the NFL draft this year, a wide receiver from Georgia, or an Adonai Mitchell, who was there at the time, potentially going to be a first-round pick in the draft as well. Now, despite all this competition in his second year at Georgia, he still outproduced all of those guys, finishing with the second most receiving yards on the team behind only Brock Bowers, who's probably going to be like a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. Now, after 2 years at Georgia, where he found some success, he ended up transferring to Alabama, and he led the team his final two seasons right here, 2022 and 2023, these final 25 games. He led the teams both years in receiving yards. You can see nearly 700 yards and then nearly 800 yards, and in his final year, set a career high with over 20 yards per reception. And he averaged over 3 yards per route run, which is an elite efficiency metric. It actually is even more impressive when you consider that he did this in the SEC, and he found all this success all 4 years in the SEC. Now, Jermaine Burton is best known for his ability to stretch the field, as he ranked top 10 in college football deep targets of 20 plus yards last season, which is great and could be a nice team fit for a lot of players. And you can see right here, there were some questions about what is his exact speed going to be. A lot of people believe that he was fast based on his role and what he did on film, and a lot of just deep attention in general and how he was schemed into those offenses. You can see here, there was kind of quotes coming out from some of his other teammates at the NFL Combine. This guy's going to blow the 40 away. And he didn't blow it away, but he still had a strong showing. Because as you can see right here, according to Player Profiler, his workout metrics, he ran a 4.45 40, that is 80th percentile, meaning top 20% of all time. And then his burst right here, 91st percentile, so top 10%, really top 9% of all time. All you have to know here is that he is explosive, dynamic, that's his burst, and fast, that's his speed. Now, some downsides to Burton's game is his blocking and character concerns, or a temper is what some people have described it as. But for me, as a YouTuber who resides in the state of Texas, I don't really have much to say here. I don't have any more details than what we've seen in some articles about some of his temper issues or his character concerns, so I'm not really going to touch any more on that. In terms of comps and comparisons, I see some Calvin Ridley in his game. That's also a player that went to Alabama. Some people have said Robert Woods. That's the type of mold you can think of when those players were coming out of college in terms of what he could look like in the NFL. Now, our second prospect we'll discuss is a wide receiver out of Rice, and this is Luke McCaffrey. And yes, this is Christian McCaffrey's brother, and believe it or not, Luke McCaffrey actually is faster. He had a better 40 time at the NFL Combine than CMC did when he was there. Now, Luke has a pretty unconventional route when it comes to his college career. He spent 5 years in college, and he actually started as a quarterback. He started his career at Nebraska as a quarterback in actually 2019. It's not listed here, but in 2020, he doesn't see any playing time. That's the COVID year. He transfers in 2021 to continue to try and be a quarterback, this time at Rice, where you see he ended up suiting up for 9 games, but he didn't actually play in any of them, not just as a receiver with the receptions, but he didn't play as a quarterback either. And some frustration probably started to build. He wasn't getting on the field, which is when he absolutely changed his entire position heading into the 2022 year and became a wide receiver. He went from quarterback in his entire time in high school and college to now, out of nowhere, in 2022, as his fourth year in college, a wide receiver. How did this go? Well, honestly, considering the fact that he never played the position before, not too bad. In 10 games, he put up over 700 yards, so he was averaging over 72 yards per game in his first ever year as a wide receiver at Rice, which isn't the greatest competition, but it's still college football level competition. And this production only continued in his final and best year, when he had, in 13 games, he actually scored 13 touchdowns, a touchdown a game, and he put up over 990 yards, almost 1,000 yards. Again, his yards per reception went up, he was being used a little bit more downfield, and in general, this is not too bad for only having before that 10 games of wide receiver experience. Now, of course, one of the concerns a lot of people will point to is, well, he played at Rice, not a lot of major competition, and that's very true, but it's at least worth pointing out that he kind of transitioned on the fly and averaged 75 yards per game as a receiver. And you can see in situations where being a quarterback earlier on in his career actually helped him as a wide receiver. He understood what the wide receiver should be doing in certain situations, how to have that mind melt with his quarterback as well, and kind of have this background as a quarterback help him in that role. Now, McCaffrey was mostly a slot player in college, which doesn't mean he can't translate to the NFL. He actually has nice size. He weighed in at the NFL Combine 6'2 and 198 pounds. So this isn't your prototypical 170 or 180 pound wide receiver. He's nearly 200 pounds, so he should have the opportunity on the outside. The obvious thing becomes, well, he only has 2 years of experience. Can he win on the outside where you have a line of scrimmage or your out of bounds marker on your left or right, and you don't really have as much wiggle room, if you will, than you do in the slot? The translation there is you don't have to be as nuanced as a route runner to win in the slot, since you have a lot more of the field to work with, maybe a worse cornerback you're going up against or more zones in the defense than when you're on the outside. That's going to be a big question for sure for him. Now, another question he faced was how athletic is he? And you can see right here, he comes from a family of athletes. His dad played wide receiver in the NFL. Obviously, his brother is Christian McCaffrey, one of the best running backs right now. And then at the combine, he shows out. Not only did he show good size, but he shows solid speed, 75th percentile speed score, which just means well above average. His agility is elite, 96th percentile. That's top 5% of all time. And he shows a really nice catch radius. So I believe in the right situation where he can actually learn even more his nuanced route running ability, that he could be put in a really nice spot to succeed as a late round draft pick. I kind of figure and compare him to maybe like a Tyler Boyd type player. Now, next up, we go from the wide receivers to the running backs. And I kind of wanted to make an individual wide receiver video and then an individual running back video, but there's just not a ton of running backs in terms of sleeper options in this draft. It's a weaker draft in general, so it's not as deep when it comes to sleepers. But one of those guys who does stand out is Kamani Vidal out of Troy. Now, short and sweet, Vidal has the size, athleticism, and college production. So why is he going under the radar? Well, I mentioned he played at Troy. That is a smaller school with weaker competition, and that's the big reason why. But this guy has done everything that he could have during his college career, and we'll talk about a little bit more of his pre-draft process, the Senior Bowl and the Combine, every single year, right away, starting out as a freshman, 100 plus carries every year, averaging over 5 yards per carry at least every single year. And you can see right here when he was a freshman, 100 plus carries, 516 rushing yards. And then he finally got his bigger role in 2022 when he became the workhorse back. He broke out for over 1,100 yards. He had 26 receptions. And then in 2023, a monster season of over 1,600 rushing yards alone, almost 300 carries. Jody can carry the workload as a big 213-pound back. You add in his receiving work, and he had nearly almost 1,900 total yards. He averaged over 20 receptions a year, which in the NFL doesn't sound like a lot for a running back. But in college, with less games, you're playing in like 10 to 12 games, 20 plus receptions is actually as good as it gets. But we already knew that he had that college production. It was always the reason that, oh, he went to Troy, it's not that impressive. Which again is a fair criticism, but I mean, that's where he went. We can't change that at this point. But what we can look at is that he looked really good at the Senior Bowl amongst his peers from bigger schools on the defensive side of the ball trying to tackle him. And he only backed this up with a good combine showing. I said he weighed in at 213 pounds. That's a solid size. And you can see right here, his speed is considered elite according to the relative athletic score, comparing all of the other running backs that have ever attended the combine at his size. Ran in the 4.4s. His overall agility is considered good. His short shuttle time was absolutely elite. So this guy overall, burst agility looks good. Speed looks great. Size looks great. So he's starting to check some boxes here. He has insane college production. He looked good at the Senior Bowl. He had a nice combine. Not to mention, he was Troy's all-time leading rusher and the 8th ranked running back according to PFF last year overall. Now, Kamani's strengths are that he stays low on his runs, he forces missed tackles, and he can catch passes. He might also be the best pass protector in this class amongst the running backs. For me, his frame and running style is similar to Maurice Jones-Drew. Now, obviously, that is a lofty comp, but I'm just trying to throw a name out there that you guys can resonate a little bit more than maybe a guy who was out of the league in 2 or 3 years that you don't really remember. The next man up is Johnny Wilson, and the video is titled like the most overlooked rookies in this draft. And look, he's not being overlooked in the literal sense because it's literally impossible. This dude is 6'6", as you can see right here, 231 pounds. He's an absolute giant. He is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, wide receivers I have ever scouted. And a lot of times when you see these big wide receivers come out, they just get told to transition to the tight end position. He's already said that he's not doing that, and the NFL has actually backed him up and said, no, stay as a wide receiver. And probably a big reason for that is because of his NFL combine showing. According to Player Profiler's workout metrics right here, you can see he ran a 4.52, which overall in the 40-yard dash time for a wide receiver is average. But when you factor in his size, that's his speed score right here, 98th percentile. For players his size, he ran in the top 2% of all time for his speed. So that's a little taste test of what you can expect out of him in terms of just his overall size and athleticism, but here's what else you need to know. Johnny Wilson started his career at Arizona State, and honestly, he didn't really do much there. He only played in 8 games. He didn't get a lot of playing time. He had just 18 catches these 2 total years combined, and then he transferred to Florida State, where he ended his career his final 2 years. And as you can see right here, he broke out in 2022. It was his best season, 43 catches, 897 receiving yards, was averaging 21 yards per catch, 20% of the targets. He looked great. So he was on the right trajectory. Transferred, he ended up popping off, it worked out for him. But then in 2023, things actually got worse. Because as you can see right here, he played in 10 games, he had 41 catches. His catches per game actually went up, but he only had 617 yards. His yards per reception dropped, but there is a reason for this. And that reason was Keon Coleman transferred into Florida State, and Keon Coleman ended up being the number one receiver on the team, just slightly ahead of Johnny Wilson. And if you're not familiar with Keon Coleman, he is also a prospect in the 2024 NFL draft. And as of right now, depending on when you've been looking at this, his best rank, he was projected to be a top 12 pick at one point, and he's basically floated around the first round. He had not the greatest NFL combine. It wasn't terrible, just didn't run a good 40 time, but according to his other drills, he had some good speed on the GPS tracking. Right now, on average, he's the 34th overall pick, so right around the end of the first, beginning of the second round. This is a player that he had to compete with, a legit right around first round NFL talent, and he still ended up showing out. That is Johnny Wilson. And by showing out, I mean he was able to hang with Keon Coleman, who is again projected to be maybe a first round pick in the NFL, because last year he ended up putting up 617 yards to Keon Coleman's 658 on 9 less overall receptions. But on a per play basis, when they were on the field, Johnny Wilson was more productive than Keon Coleman, which is something to think about. Now, here's specifically what I believe Johnny Wilson does well, what his skills are. He uses his size to his advantage as he wins contested catches. He has a lot of explosiveness for his size, and he's shown that he has speed at the combine. Now, the concerns are mostly his ability to beat press coverage, which is honestly a thing for a lot of wide receivers in this draft class. They don't see it a lot in college, or when they do, it's not against good defensive backs like they'll see in the NFL. That's something that wherever he lands, they'll have to kind of just teach him that. And then you could also critique his route running for sure, but as a bigger player who does have some explosiveness, he has other ways to win, like we said, contested catches and using his physicality. Now, next up, we'll go back to another running back, but this guy actually was a receiver at one point, and that's going to be Tyrann Tracy, who is similar to Luke McCaffrey in that he does have an unconventional path in his college career. First off, he spent 6 seasons in college. And as I mentioned, he was a wide receiver to start his college career. For his first 4 to 6 years, he was at Iowa, and he only had 15 combined carries, and he really didn't have a lot of receptions. He didn't get a lot of playing time. And then in 2022, he ends up transferring to Purdue, where he sees a career-high 17 carries. Now, he was still a wide receiver at this time, but he only caught 28 balls, which was a career high for him at that point, but he had just as many carries. He was averaging over 8 yards per carry, and he started to think, hey, maybe I could become a running back. And that's exactly what he did as he entered 2023. He made the decision to change to being a running back, and he actually put on 15 pounds of size, and that helped him find success. And for his first time ever in 11 games in 2023, he was a running back, and he saw over 100 carries, which is impressive for somebody who just had to manage 15 more pounds of size, never was a running back in his career. Getting 113 opportunities means that you probably had some success, and he did. Over 700 yards, was averaging over 6 yards per carry, which actually led the Big Ten in his first ever year as a running back, and 8 total touchdowns. Pretty crazy. And kind of like Luke McCaffrey brought some experience from the quarterback position into playing wide receiver, that's exactly what you get out of Tracy becoming a running back now, and a lot of those are just a lot more transferable. You can see receiving skills and yards after the catch ability really there in terms of his ability to break tackles and produce after contact as a running back. So we got that production out of him for 1 year, and then we saw at the NFL Combine that, yeah, this dude is absolutely electric, dynamic, athletic. You can see his speed was great, 4.48 40 time. His burst score was 93rd percentile. His agility, 96th percentile. All this is fantastic. We got some running back production, and now we know that this guy is an absolute athlete. But of course, there are concerns, and these concerns are probably a bit obvious to you if you just kind of sat and thought about it for a little bit. He's only been a running back for 1 year, so he has raw experience there, and he's already 24 and a half years old. Again, when I mentioned he was in college for 6 years, that's longer than most people, which means he's probably going to be older than most people coming out, and there's really not a big sample or a successful sample of running backs coming out this late and being productive. Now, one recent example we do have of this is Rashad White, who was 23 and a half years old when he was drafted, and he was also a mega producer in college, and he's found success with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the big difference is Rashad White didn't have just 1 year of experience in college as a running back. He had a couple years, including a massive productive year where he led his team not only in rushing yards, but also receiving yards. So of course there are concerns, but that's why he's being overlooked. We can't ignore the upside that this guy was dynamic his first year ever as a running back. What happened if he had an extra 1 or 2 years to show that a little bit more? And that's what might happen in NFL if he's taken in the 5th or 6th round. He might get some upside there. Now the next player who's going massively overlooked is Dylan Laub. And Laub does one thing incredibly well, and that is catch passes. More specifically, his final 2 years of college, he had 49 catches and 68 catches. That's over 5 catches per game. And in his final year where he had 68 catches and led the entire college football landscape, that was nearly 7 catches per game as a running back. I mean, let me just leave this headline right here for you, and I'll read it to you as well if you just can't read or whatever it might be. Dylan Laub scores 3 TDs. Okay, that's cool. Hauls in 12 catches for 295 receiving yards. Again, if this was a wide receiver, it'd be be insane, 12 catches for 295 yards. He is a running back. Now look, Lobb was very productive in college. He ends up breaking out in 2022. He goes for nearly 1,300 rushing yards, adds in a bunch of receiving yards, as you can see right here, 468, has nearly 700 receiving yards last year, 1,300 total yards. He averaged almost 1,600, over 1,600 total yards his final 2 years. So the production, you can check that box. So the ability to catch passes and put up a ton of yards in college is there for Lobb. So why is he going overlooked? Well, he did this at a small school. And that small school for Dylan Lobb was New Hampshire, which is a very, very small school. He's not getting a lot of competition there. It's very weak competition, which means a lot of NFL teams will look at his production and go, it's kind of fake. A lot of running backs at bigger programs probably would have done that, if not better, but it does leave the question, what would he have done in a bigger program? Now, the other downside for Lobb is that he didn't run fast at the NFL Combine. Now, it wasn't anything dramatically, insanely, terribly slow. Like, it wasn't a 4.8 or a 4.7. He ran a 4.5, 4.40, which is just average for running backs his size, but he did show above average burst, and he showed 96 percentile agility, which kind of makes sense. You have to be agile if you're a really good pass catcher and if you're good after the catch like Lobb. But the concerns are completely fair as a small school running back with average speed, but it's also leading to him going completely under the radar despite his elite production, which I believe is a mistake. And according to JJ Zacharyson's late round rookie guide, or his model, whatever you want to call it, Lobb earned a best season team reception share of 25%, which was the highest ever in his model. Now, what does that mean? It means that he earned in his best season over 25% of his team's total receptions. He was, again, a running back. I would say he's definitely the best pass catching running back in this class, and he's just not being talked about enough, which is why he's featured in this video, because that should be discussed. Especially because when he went to the Senior Bowl, he looked really good and he held his own against other peers that were from bigger programs, both in the running back room and guys he went up against in terms of the defensive line, linebackers, and secondary. Now, Lobb was a massive producer as a pass catching running back, but maybe the most productive wide receiver in the entire class is Jacob Cowing, and you're not even really knowing who he is for the most part unless you're a diehard fan of Arizona or just college football. Now, Jacob started his career the first 3 years. You see, he spent 5 years in college. He spent the first 3 years at UTEP, where immediately, right away, this dude was productive. He had 69 targets earned as an 18-year-old true freshman, which is insane. Most of those guys don't even play. He went out there and had 550 yards on 69 receptions. And then what does he do his final 2 years there in UTEP, which is the 2021 COVID year where he only plays 8 games? Well, he averages over 90 yards a game, and he goes out for 31.5% target share. That is elite, top 5% target share of all time. And then he backs it up the next year with the same exact target share, breaks out for over 1,300 yards, averaging nearly 20 yards per catch in his final year, 2021, at UTEP. So that was insane production, and it only continued his final 2 seasons when he transferred to Arizona, averaged over 900 yards per game and 10 touchdowns a season. Now, maybe the most impressive part about Jacob Cowing is that he did all of this. He was this massively productive at just 168 pounds, which is definitely one of the smaller wide receivers that we will see in this draft and really most drafts in the past decade. But the good news is the narrative in the NFL around smaller wide receivers, it's changing. They're getting a lot more opportunities now. Devonta Smith a few years back, yeah, he looked great. This just past year alone, you saw Tank Dell in Houston have a great year. At 165 pounds coming out last year in the draft, Tank Dell put up over 700 yards and 7 touchdowns in just 11 games before injury with the Texans. And then we saw Josh Downs, another rookie for the Colts this past year, also find success. At just 170 pounds when he was coming out last year in the NFL draft, he put up over 770 yards as a rookie with Gardner Minshew as his quarterback for the majority of the season. But look, there are concerns. Outside of the size, he played at Arizona and UTEP, where there was much weaker competition. And Cowing also saw most of his time in the slot and saw a good chunk of his targets behind the line of scrimmage. We call those cheap targets behind the line of scrimmage because they're really not earned all that much. They're pretty cheap. But the question becomes, was this because of his skill set or just the way that they were using and running the offense and the system? Well, Cowing is great after the catch, so maybe it was just a system play. Get the ball in our playmaker's hand pretty easily and let him work after the catch. At the NFL Combine, he ran in the 4.3s, which for his size is fine. It's completely fine. Maybe you would have liked to see like a 4.32, like a low 4.3s, but a 4.38, it's fine. And we just can't ignore, in my opinion, what he did in college. He had a 61% dominator rating, which all you need to know is that's top 1% all time of his overall team's production on offense. Insane. And a 37% college target share. Again, this is insane. It's top 1% of all time. Now, before we get to a couple of the final most overlooked, and these are the most overlooked in the entire video players, I just want to let you know about the Fantasy Blueprint for 2024. This is our fourth year putting together the Fantasy Blueprint. If you're in a fantasy league at all, this is going to help you. The question is, do you want to win your league? Should be an obvious answer and yes. And this will give you every single thing you need to do just that. Everything you need to prepare for your draft. And then every single week during the season, I will help you all the way up until your fantasy playoffs. So this isn't just for the summer. It's for the entire season, this blueprint. And for the entire entire season. So what, 6 months or so? It's just $10 for the entire year. And you can get it by following these two simple steps linked in the description below. This will take like 30 seconds of your time, and I'll send it to you when the first version of this releases.
And oh yeah, if you don't make your fantasy playoffs, I'll just refund your payment of $10, no questions asked. So this is absolutely risk-free for you. Worst case, you don't make your playoffs and you get your $10 back.
You can also scan the QR code on the screen if that's easier for you. I know that's easier for me when I watch a lot of YouTube on my laptop or on my TV. And right now is the time to get it when it's at its lowest price before I raise the price later this summer. So just scan that QR code right now and get it for yourself. Now, one of the most overlooked players in the entire NFL draft is Javon Baker. This is a wide receiver out of UCF. And look, he had a slow start to his college career as he started at Alabama. And during his time there in two seasons, he had just 7 total catches, but he was buried on a depth chart behind Jameson Williams, a first round NFL draft pick, and Devonta Smith, the Heisman winner and a first round NFL draft pick. But then Baker transferred to UCF for his final two college seasons, and he just looked really good. You can see he breaks out right away there for 800 yards. And then in his final season, he has another good season, nearly 22 yards per catch, and he has over 1,100 total yards. In general, he had a top 10 breakout score for this entire draft class, and he's probably going to be drafted in like the 4th, 5th, or 6th round, even though, again, top 10 wide receiver breakout score in this draft class. While he was at UCF, he became just a weapon downfield, a jump ball artist. He averaged over 17 yards per catch. Now, one major concern in his profile is that he wasn't all that fast at the NFL Combine, but you can see right here, Jim Nagy is in charge of the Senior Bowl, and this is a tweet that he had during the Senior Bowl week. You can see that Javon Baker overall greatly benefited from the tracking data. That's a GPS tracking data. And look at this paragraph. He was one of the fastest players, the 5th fastest overall player and the 2nd fastest wide receiver, running 20.99 miles per hour. That's 21 miles per hour. The only faster wide receiver, so this is real game speed, not just running in a straight line at the combine where you have to practice your overall jump and get off the line, which is not actually transferable to the NFL in my opinion. Well, UNC's Tez Walker was the only guy faster than him at the Senior Bowl in terms of real game speed. So I do think the 40 times are good to compare players when that's all that we have. But when we have this GPS data on the guys from in-game speed, that is more valuable. So his biggest trait is his jump ball ability and ability to win downfield, but you could also really trust this guy's hands. He just doesn't drop the ball. And this was pretty cool to see from PFF, some of the analysis that they did based on previous years when they compared his skill set and all his overall production and when he broke out and all his whole profile, right? He ends up being looked at as somebody who would be taken in the first 84 picks of the NFL draft. So overall, you're looking at like midway through the 3rd round, which is really good draft capital for a wide receiver. But right now on the consensus big boards, he's going as like the 99th player or outside the top 100. So they believe that he's a sleeper. And honestly, I do too. Now, of course, there are reasons why he's going later in the draft, and those would be his concerns, which would be his inability to break tackles consistently and to consistently separate. But the concerns around separation, yes, they are definitely concerns, but we've seen this. For guys who are jump ball artists and win downfield, you don't really need to separate all as much. DK Metcalf, guys like Mike Williams in the NFL. And if you don't want to compare him to one of those high-end comps, you can compare him to somebody like a Romeo Doubs for the Green Bay Packers, who has been very, very good for them specifically in his role. Contested catch guy, red zone weapon, reliable hands, and also a nice option in fantasy leagues as well as like a late round draft pick. Now we get to Jamari Thrash, who might be the draft community's favorite overall deep sleeper, as he spent 4 years at a very small school to start his career, 4 years at Georgia State. And look, it wasn't pretty his first 3 years there. I mean, 9 catches, 32 catches for 452 yards. His first year in 2019 isn't even shown because he really didn't do much at all or play. It wasn't until his 4th year there in 2022 when he finally broke out for over 1,100 yards, averaged 18 yards per catch, 18 and a half, which was a career high, 61 receptions. All of this was fantastic. He was looking great out there in Georgia State. But then Thrash took a step back in his age 22 season, and there was a lot of reasons for this. First off, he transferred to a bigger program with tougher competition in Louisville, and he also had a new role. He was moved into the slot, not used as much downfield, and he was battling a hand injury. And you could see his new role led to a career low, and again, he was in the slot, a career low, 13.6 yards per reception. He played in 12 games, yes, but he was dealing with a hand injury in part of those games, which limited his upside, and that kind of is going under the radar. So this creates the question, was his production drop because he saw tougher competition? And if that's the case, that's not great, because now he's getting the toughest competition in the NFL. Or was it due to the fact that he was dealing with a hand injury, which is pretty important as a wide receiver, and also he was in a new offense in a new role that he really wasn't put in when he was at Georgia State? I should also point out that his final year at Georgia State, when he broke out and he had that 1,100 yards, this was a tweet I put out there, the next closest guy on his team in terms of yards at any position on the team was 379. He had over 700 more yards, and to be exact, 743 more yards than anybody else on the team. Again, that is absolutely insane. And my guess is that the questions that we have about his production and wasn't a drop because of the tougher competition, it's going to be answered at the NFL draft. If he's taken before like the 5th round, it means the NFL believes in his talent. And if he's not drafted or taken later on, it means, hey, maybe they don't believe that his production at the smaller school was a real thing. In my opinion, these are the most overlooked rookies in the NFL draft. And just a reminder for the 2024 Fantasy Blueprint, that QR code is on the screen right now to get it at the lowest price this summer. The draft at the end of April is for sure going to change the NFL landscape, but it's already been changed once this offseason, and that's by free agency. And I break down in this video right here just exactly what those biggest moves are and how it shook up the entire NFL.